Good evening, y'all. Hey, who's dry in the house? Anyone? All right. Shout out to the 10 dry people in the house. Hey, we are at the end of the semester. Y'all made it. I know you have finals next week, and who's freaking out? Yeah. I know there's more than 10 in here that are freaking out. But this has been a really great semester. God's done some really, really cool stuff. And as a representative of the staff, I just wanted to start off by saying that we are completely blessed to come alongside all of you and do ministry here at ISU. And some of the stuff that we get to experience and hear whispers of, and some of the life change that we see happening just inside of our offices day in and day out, we are incredibly grateful for what we get to do, and we get to hang out and do a little life with you all this semester. And so I hope that as we wrap up the semester, that we can do so with a heart of thanksgiving, with a heart of gratitude, and with a heart of anticipation that God has even more planned for you next semester. And so we're at the end of a pretty cool series that I've been really excited about, of the I Am statements. And every week, week in and week out, we've heard these statements that have showed us a little bit more of who Jesus is, and in turn shows us who the Father is. And we've heard stuff like Jesus revealing that he is the bread of life, that he is to sustain us, and that things of this world cannot replace that, that he came to be the light of the world, and that where light is present, darkness has no power. And tonight, we're ending it all off, and kind of the capstone of it all, it's all important. Tonight is really important, I think. And so tonight we are going to be examining when Jesus said his I Am statement of I am the way, the truth, and the life. What I'm excited about is, as we wrap up tonight, is I want to really just hit on the head what the character of God is. Not only what this whole semester has kind of been leading to towards the character of God, but also what tonight is nailing on the head, who is God because of what Jesus says he is. And so tonight we pick up in John chapter 14. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and get that out. John chapter 14 is where we're picking up, verse 1. And here we're in the upper room, and Jesus has just revealed that his time is short, that he's about to go, and that his time here on earth is about done for, and his disciples are freaking out. Okay? I don't know if we can even wrap our minds around what that would look like, but put yourself in their shoes. These dudes were all in, okay? They left their families, they left their jobs, they left everything they knew to be true in their life to go follow this cool dude and do some life together for a few years. And then he's like, "Actually, I'm gone." And he's kind of been leading up to this the whole time, but sometimes the disciples are not so bright. And so they're pretty shocked when he reveals the news that his time is done. And that's kind of where we pick up today. Let's see if I can do this remote. Oh, yeah. John chapter 14 says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I'm going." And here comes Thomas. Dude is really straight up, kind of dense. He's just really straightforward. And he's like, "No, we don't know, Lord. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way?" This dude is gutsy, man. He has no shame. And Jesus goes on to say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. So from now on, you do know him and have seen him." And so tonight we're going to unpack that specific line. What did Jesus mean when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life"? Because right now he has some explaining to do, because his boys are freaking out. They don't know what's to come next. They gave up everything that they have to live for. And Jesus says, peace out, I'm going. And they're freaking out. And he says, no, wait a minute. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You got nothing to fear. So let's take a look at what he means, what he meant when he said that. Jesus says, I am the way. And this is relevant because from the beginning of time, there's something deep inside of us that always, that has a desire to know where we're going. Okay? Like, self-proclaimed, I live off of Google Maps. Okay? I am helpless. Even around town, you tell me to go to, like, South Bloomington, where? I don't know. Lived there for like 15 years. Give me a random street, I probably can't get there. But I love Google Maps, you know? I'm an Apple dude usually, but iMaps has led me astray too many times. But we as a people, as humans, need to know there's something inside us that wants to get from point A to point B. And right now, there's a lot of people and ways and stuff in this world that's telling us how to do that. You grow up and you're told from right when you're a kid that this is your plan for the next 12 years of your life. You got to go to school and you got to wake up and you got to learn a lot of stuff that you probably won't use ever again. Long division, really? Just kidding. I know that's important. Debatable. But, sorry for all you math people out there. But we need to know where we're going. We need to know the way. And this is a huge, huge point into what he's making. That when Jesus says, I am the way, he's saying that there's something else. There's something on the other side. There's a way to get to the Father, and it's through me. And we see more about that and more about his character when we look into another I am statement told in John 10. It says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They'll run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. This is where you need to pay attention. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Jesus comes and he says, I am the gate. And there's something that we can learn about the character of God through this statement and through this illustration. For those of you taking notes, by him saying this, he's saying that he's a good father. You see, we see there in that passage that he's a good father because he knows us. It says that he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And after he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. And I apologize, a lot of my stories are going to be about my baby girl because that's literally all that I do right now is hang out with her or wake up with her in the middle of the night. But this rings true to me right now because we've spent a good 4.5 months taking care of this baby girl who was helpless. Sheep are helpless. Okay, no one is going to have the mascot, the mighty sheep, right? They're helpless. And my baby girl is helpless. And when she came into the world, it took us a little bit of time to figure out who she was, if she had a personality. She didn't have a personality for a long time because they don't. But it's not bogus. It's just they just don't. They just want to eat and sleep. But after a while, the more that we invested our time, the more that we were around her, the more that we provided for her, the more we got to know her. And all of a sudden, those cries that would happen every hour on the hour, we start to distinguish what they meant. All of a sudden, we could tell the difference between a sleepy cry, like, I am just so tired, I need to get back to bed, and a cry that was like, give me some food now, or I will cause ruckus. And she does. It's crazy. Like, we don't have another language that we can communicate by, but my wife and I, like, we'll be laying in bed, and at 2 a.m, we know in 2 seconds what type of cry that is. We know if that's I'm going in there because she needs to be comforted, or if Katie's going in there because she needs to be fed, something which I can't do. But you see, God, Jesus is saying that his sheep recognize his voice, they know him, and that points to him being a good father. He's a good father also because he guards us. It talks about the thieves and the robbers and the things of this world that don't have good intentions for our lives. And what this illustration is building and is that there is a gate that protects. Gate goes two ways, right? And he's saying that I am the gates. I'm only going to let through who should be let through, and the thieves and the robbers have no place in this life. God is a good father. And most of all, he's a good father because he's provided the way. Jesus is saying, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. You see, he's a good father because he provided the way. Some people might get a little offended by this statement that there's one way into heaven. And right now, we live in a world that gives a lot of solutions to a lot of things, most of which aren't true. We live in a world that says, you know what, you just got to be nice. Be a nice person. Be kind. Recycle. Save the earth. Reflect. Do yoga. Nothing's wrong with any of those things. Those things aren't going to get you into heaven. Plain and simple. There's one way. And you see, Jesus saying this means that the character of God is so true that he is a good father because we need to know how to get there. From the beginning of time, we need to know how to get from point A to point B. This is him saying clearly, how do you get from point A to point B? Jesus, I am the gate. You know me, you know the Father. Plain and simple. There'll be other things that sound good. Being nice is good. It's not the way. Recycling is good. It's not the way. Yoga? I'm just kidding. But it's not the way. Do not mistake God for being an exclusive God. This God is a good, kind Father because he told us plain and clearly what's the one way to get to him. It's through Jesus. He's a good Father. The truth. Jesus says, I am the way, which points to God being a good father. He says, I am the truth. Everything in this world tries to portray itself as being true. Every marketing ploy you see says that if you use this product, you're going to become a better person. Every expectation of our society says this, if you get a college degree and you get a good wife or husband and you get a nice house, you're going to be a happy person. It's not true. We're obsessed right now with this idea of figuring out what's true and what's fake news and what can I trust, and everyone's lying and I don't know where to look for the truth. And that is the reality of the world that we live in now. And Jesus comes and he says, I am the way. I'm also the truth. The truth is that I am the truth to get you home. Not what society tells you to believe or what society tells you to buy into, but me, Jesus, I'm the gate, I am the truth, I am the way to get you home. And what's exciting like right now about this is that we are stepping into the Christmas season that celebrates just that. The truth of a God that loves us so much that he sent his son as a helpless baby into a hurt and broken world to fulfill that truth. That's exciting. And what excites me about this is that this truth has been being told for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Isaiah 7:14 says, all right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Give you a little background as to what's happening here and why this is exciting. What's happening here in Isaiah 7 is that there's a king called King Ahaz of Judah, and the previous kings before him, they've been aight, right? Some have followed God, some haven't. They've been alright. King Ahaz, horrible dude. Okay, just not a good dude. He turned his back completely on God. He filled Jerusalem with idols. Such a bad dude that he reinstated worship of all these pagan gods, and one in particular that they're like due to like follow this pagan god was to burn children on altars, babies, newborns on altars. And this dude was so crazy that he burnt his like brand new child on an altar for this pagan god. Okay, crazy dude. And so this is who Isaiah has working, who he has to work for or work with. And King Ahaz was so crazy that even like the surrounding kingdoms and their kings were like, dude, we got to take this dude down. He's just bad news, not doing a great job. And so there's two kings of neighboring kingdoms that come together and they say, let's team up, let's knock him out, let's get rid of him. And King Ahaz hears of that. And he's like, okay, that isn't going to happen. So he goes to a different king, a dude who's powerful and rich, and he's the king of Assyria. And he's like, well, maybe if I partner with this other king, these other two dudes won't try to overtake me. So King Ahaz is desperate. Obviously, his morals don't have any. But he's like, he's so desperate to partner up with this powerful king of Assyria that he's like, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go break into the temple, and I'm going to steal all the silver and gold to go to give to this king of Assyria so he'll partner up with me so these two dudes won't be knocking on my doorstep. That was his plan. At this point, God's like, all right, that's enough. You're a hot mess. Let me try to do something about this. So he sends, and he sends Isaiah to go talk with him. And Isaiah basically says, don't do this. These two kings are petty. Right now, you are trying to take things into your own hands, matters into your own hands, and you are being desperate. You are selling your soul, essentially, to the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria has no good intentions in his heart for you or your kingdom or your people. Do not do this. Instead, rely on me. Rely on the Lord. I will not forsake my people. And he goes, and Isaiah tells that to the king, and the king's like, that's all right. I probably won't listen. And this is when Isaiah says this, that look, the virgin will conceive a child. He will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So what is he saying here? How does this fit? He's saying, look, God is saying no one's going to be allowed to destroy your kingdom or my people. That in fact, the virgin is going to be with child. She's going to bear a son. His name's going to be Emmanuel. And this is going to go off how it's been planned for forever now. And what this means, what Isaiah is telling him, is that God has promised to not forsake his people. That's what he's saying. You don't have to fear these two kings. I will not forsake you. Let me tell you, King Ahaz deserved to be forsaken. Dude was a bad dude. And God said, look, I will not forsake my people. Here is my plan. My plan is to not only save you and my people, my plan is to send a baby into this world. A helpless baby named Emmanuel. And I'm going to teach you more things about your life than you can ever dream of through this little baby. And as he will be known as Emmanuel, you will have this whole new concept of God being with you. Not in theory, not in this like, cool, that sounds good. No, God will be with you. What does this teach me about the character of God? Is that he is real and present. It means that as everything is dying around you, there's nothing on this earth that will last forever. Plain and simple. As everything's dying around you, this is the truth to hold on to. As King Ahaz had armies gathered on either side of him ready to overtake him, God says, wait. Don't give in to the temptation. Don't sell your soul to another king. Wait, I will save you. I am Emmanuel, God with you. I am present, and I am real. The beautiful thing is that truth, thousands and thousands of years ago, is the same truth for you and me today. The same truth to deliver you from whatever lie you're pressured to believe in right now. That you're not good enough, that you're a fraud, that no one will ever care about you. Jesus comes and says, actually, I'm the truth. Not what society tells you about yourself. I'm the truth. And what that means is that I came as Emmanuel. I'm real and I'm present. And I'm here for you. And that is the truth that's worth holding on to. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I feel like it's every morning that I wake up and there's a new article on Twitter about somebody else being accused of sexual assault or a terrorist attack or some events of racism or something horrible. And it's heartbreaking to wake up every day for that to be the reality of life. And you got to wake up and think every day that this is not what it's meant to be like. I had a friend send me this clip a while ago. It's of a cartoon. I don't do cartoons, okay? I'm not a cartoon dude. And he sent this to me, and this clip is crazy. I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm going to play it for you in a second. Don't judge me. There's a purpose. But he sent it to me. He's like, hey, I think you might be able to use this as a sermon illustration one day. And I typed back, LOL, thanks. Not planning on using it ever. You're going to see why. But as I was prepping today, kind of last second, I was like, man, this actually does fit. Man, I'm not going to tell him because He's going to laugh. He's going to make fun of me for laughing at him. But this cartoon, this main character, this whole episode is about him asking, what is the meaning of life? What's the meaning of life? And here we have this fun little song that the universe decides to sing to him about what the meaning of life is. Don't judge me. Honestly, I don't know. I've never seen the show before, so again, don't judge me. I'm not sure if you heard what that song was about. It sounded cool, right? It was like a beat, minute and a half of like peppy stuff. Kind of crazy, but you know, bright colors and nice, you know. Let me read to you what that song was about. When you think you've got a problem and your life is full of doubt, remember, in the scheme of things, your life just doesn't count. You're tiny, you're minuscule, irrelevant, a speck. Upon the dark side of that rock, you're just a measly little fleck. So when you think you've got a problem, when your life is full of doubt, remember, in the scheme of things, you're puny, little, tiny, weeny, meager, futile, worthless, teeny, boring, foolish, pointless, minimal, wretched, gloomy, bleak, and pitiful life just does not count. There you have it. Unfortunately, that is an awesome description of life without the existence of God. That's an awesome description of life without the existence of God. And a lot of you are living in that life right now. And I'm sorry. What did Jesus mean when he said he is the life? And what does that mean about the character of God? It means that he's merciful. Because that life is no life to live. And that video sounded good, right? It was hard for me to even like to even realize that it was a pretty dark, depressing song because of all the bright colors and the happy medley and everything that was happening, craziness that was happening in the video. But it also reminds me a little bit about the world that we live in now. Things look nice. Things look attractive. Things look bright and cheery and fun and hopeful. And what happens is that when we get caught up in it and when we lose our sight of where we're going, that way that we're talking about and the truth that has been spoken over us for thousands and thousands of years. What happens is when we lose sight of that, this is the life that we find ourselves in. And sometimes when you go to bed at night, you hear that you're puny, that you're little, that you're tiny, meager, worthless, boring, foolish, wretched, gloomy, bleak, and pitiful. But see, Jesus comes and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says that when you place your faith in him, what you find out that other side, right on the other side of the gate, is a life that you can only dream of coming true. And that life outside of on the other side of that gate is a life you've always dreamed about. It's a life without condemnation, a life freed from our sins, a life where sin does not weigh us down, where our regrets do not chain us anymore, a life where you're free to love without reservation, where your soul can be refreshed, changed, blessed, a life of adventure and joy. That is the life that Jesus came to provide. And what does that speak to about the character of God? Is that he's merciful. We don't deserve that. But he's merciful. And Jesus says, when you cross that gate to meet the Father, that's what you get to experience. This is my baby girl. She changed my life. I thought I was ready to be a dad. And she came and she challenged me in every single way possible. And my life changed. And we've had her here for 4.5 months and it feels like a billion years. But every night before we put her to bed, we have this little routine. We give her a bath. She has like 7 rubber duckies floating around. She loves it. We call it the Spa Lopez. We get her back into her room, dry her off, put her in nice flannel pajamas, turn off the lights, leave one little light on. We have a nice little Christmas, mini baby Christmas tree right now. That's the light. And Katie holds her, and I sing to her on the guitar. And right now we're singing a lot of Christmas songs, and we have a good night song. And after that, she's calmed down, ready to be fed to go to bed. And I take her at when Katie, you know, does her thing, gets herself ready. I take her, and I hold her up, and I look her in the eyes every single night. And I tell her the truths about how God sees her. I say, Ella, you are beautiful. Ella, you are worthy. Ella, you are made with a purpose. You are protected. You are worth far more than rubies. You are a child of God. And every night I speak that truth into her, not because I have it inside of me to do that every single night, but because these truths about who the Father is completely changed my life. And in this world that is hurt and that is broken and that is going to be pulling for Ella's attention from the second that she knows that she's conscious of it, I want her to know these truths. That the Lord is a good Father. That the Lord is real and present in her life. And that he's merciful. My life has completely been changed by this little girl and by a God whose truths can change your life if you let it. And so tonight, it'd be foolish for me to not end and ask you guys to consider that. See, God presents himself as a good and present and merciful Father through Jesus. He extends his arms out to you, and he says, I know you've messed up. It's okay. I still love you. He says, I know your name. I know your heart. I know your dreams. I know where you want to go. He says, and I love you anyways. See, by Jesus saying that he is the way, the gate, that's him saying, I care about you. Let me get you from point A to point B. This is the Lord giving you the perfect map on how to do it. This is how you get to me. Here's Jesus. Accept the gift that I've sent you and give up whatever you're holding on to. Give up the control that you think you need for your life. Give up the pain and the hurts and the anger and the abuse that has molded your way of life up until now. Let it go. I'll take it. This is him saying, that as you accept that, as you accept you not being able to do it on your own, that that's all you need. And what happens after that is incredible freedom. A life full, just as God intended it. The chains of lies and hurts that directed your life before have no power anymore. Because I, the God of the universe, say that you're worthy, that you're made in my image, that you're chosen as a son and daughter of the King. I'd be foolish tonight not to offer that to you. And for some of you in the room here tonight, you are living in that world that tells you that you're worthless, that you're boring, that you're wretched. And I'm sorry. If you've never considered, or even if you have considered this before and you've just been living a life that the noise of the world has drowned out that truth, tonight is the night to take advantage of that. Never been more clear before to me. Jesus says, here I am. I am the gate. Walk through this. The Father's right on the other side. I'm offering that to you tonight. We have two more songs after this. If you want to sit at your seat and cry out to the Lord, great. If you want to pray with some people on the sides, amazing. If you want to talk to a staff person or somebody after this about what that means to walk through the gate and what your life could look like after that, please do that. Do not let this semester end stuck, hopeless, and fearful. Jesus has come and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, because he loves you. God, grateful. Grateful that you love us enough to do that. I stand up here and proclaim that I do not deserve that, that I am a sinful man. Lord, I know that there's people in this room tonight that feel that heavy on their heart. The lies of this world, that the hopelessness of finals or family situations or whatever's going on in their lives, Lord, that they are consumed by it. Lord, I ask that you would give them the courage to look up towards you and realize that you're standing there with open arms right on the other side of that gate, just like you always have been. Thank you for being a Father who is good, who is real and present and merciful. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.